If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me today, as always, my co-host, the Stokely Hathaway to my Dave Cargill, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, cut the shit.
What?
1 minute in, I'm breaking records, yo. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I wasn't ready for that, and... Damn, I really didn't deserve that.
We gotta get hype. Get hype.
Man, you're no nonsense today. Just slapping me around.
Yeah, gotta be.
I don't mind it. Hey, it's been a week. It's been a long week. It's been a busy week. It's been a stressful week. It has been a shitty news week. Oh, breaking records again.
Yeah.
1 minute into the podcast. But yeah, it's been a week. But you know what? It's
sucky.
I will say it's good to have the theme song by Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers in here,
always
hyping us up. I feel like I'm hooking up right. Ooh, bad reference. Yeah. We're off to a bad start.
Yeah.
How's your week been? Yeah.
It's been okay. You know, yeah. Gotta stay busy. Gotta keep it moving, because if you don't, it'll get to you.
Yeah.
I mean, wrestling. There's been wrestling. There's lots of wrestling.
Some would say.
It's happening.
Some would say. Happening isn't the word I would use to describe wrestling, but
I mean, it's physically happening.
Legally, it is on TV. It is happening. There are questionable things about it, but it's working. It's going.
Yeah. And the great thing is, we have a great guest today. So
we do. Oh my God, we do.
Look at that.
They thought it was just us for a second. I did too. I never know what's happening on this show. It's not like we have 200 pages of notes that we use for this podcast. But should I welcome in the guest?
Yes, please.
Even though I don't know who it is. Making his way to the podcast, the leader of the Less Than Two crew, the busiest man in reality TV podcasting, booked, busy, and ballin', you might know him as the runner-up of the RHAP Pig Brother Brent Steele from this week. Please welcome the Twitch stream dream, the people's champ, Puya Zanvakili!
Woo! Yay! Hey, Matt, Mari, thank you so much for having me back. It's good to be back. I'm excited. I'm pumped. And I've got just about enough coffee in me to get the day started, so we're living.
No,
thank you for being here. And yes, it's an honor. It's a privilege. We don't know what we did to deserve you, but thank you.
Stop this, Matt. Yes. Stop this right now.
I'm just trying to get my title shot. But we'll get there.
We'll see. We'll see if you can earn that shot.
I don't know if
And thank you for being with us on, I know, after a late night out, because you were with the Less Than Two crew last night doing some pod things. So thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Early morning, and we're going to try and get through this. So yeah. Let's start out with the news.
We love the news.
Don't we all? Vince McMahon. He's like, let's do some more dick swinging, I guess. Like, just a continuation of last week. So if you don't know what's going on with the Vince McMahon allegations, go check out our podcast from last week where we broke down the allegations, the shuffle of Vince McMahon stepping down as the CEO, but still having control creatively, and Stephanie being named the interim CEO. But yeah, so he came out in Raw, at least in an open Raw, I guess. It was a women open Raw, if I remember correctly. But it truly was just kind of like, yeah, I'm out here. Thank you for making Raw. Like, it's just like a lot of stats. Like, oh, this is the 1517th episode of Raw. It's the longest reigning episodic show. He was basically saying, like, we're not going down. Like, it was so freaking weird. And it's always even weirder to me that you have fans in the audience applauding and bowing down and just, I'm sick of you. I'm sick.
It's a lot. It's always been, and the thing is, it's always, you know, he's always gotten the bows coming out, and that's just very Vince McMahon showed up. This is a big deal, except obviously now it's just really strange. And, you know, something I want to point out is that there are a lot of people like us who are not in the arenas, who are not at these shows, who are not like throwing trash at him. Like it's ECW 1998 or something like that. So I always take the crowd reaction with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And it'll continue to be like that, keeping people like that out if you're going to continue to glorify like these type of actions and stuff like that. Puya, what's your take on this whole saga of Vince McMahon?
Like, why are you here? Like, when something like this happens, doesn't it usually mean we're at least the silver linings? We won't have to hear from you for a little bit. Like, when Stephanie gets announced as the interim GM, I was like, or like the CEO, I was like, okay, he's out. At least he's going to be gone for a little bit. Then we find out that he's still going to be in the background controlling things creatively. I was like, well, that's a bummer because I feel like he's not known what to do for a long time now. Then he shows up on SmackDown. It's like, okay, you wanted to push some ratings there. I did see a chart. Looks like the ratings did work out that night.
Oh, definitely.
For him. But then you're here today. Why? Like, go away. We don't need, John Cena is going to be coming. Yeah, you don't need to hype him up. John Cena will hype himself up. People will show up no matter what. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be here. So I do not understand this. I think 100%, just given how Stephanie was gone in the middle of her own, some kind of lawsuits that were happening, and then he's given back the CEO spot, and then he goes away, but he's still here. It's the McMahons trying to really hold down, like, this is our company and we're not leaving, which... Mm-hmm. I don't know if the strategy is going to work. I mean, if the audience in Nebraska was giving you anything, it was that they were very happy to see him. But I don't know what the strategy is here. I don't know what the move is here. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's odd. And I mean, if I had to kind of point to one thing I want to point out just to follow up on something I mentioned last week. So YouTube likes are very interesting because SmackDown last week, I just pulled it up and... likes and dislikes. Like there are 32,000 likes from SmackDown June 17th, 59,000 dislikes. Then we go ahead to this week's Raw, and currently it's 41,000 likes and 14,000 dislikes. So it's almost like maybe the negative sentiment is sort of going down with Vince McMahon, which is really messed up. But the thing I want to mention with that is that he's just normalizing, like, himself and his behavior. If he were to go away, then I think people would say, oh, this. And by the way, he was not there weekly at all.
Exactly.
But like, if he were to go away, then people might look at that as more scandalous. But he's walking out. He's showing up. He's doing his Vince McMahon strut. Like, nothing's wrong. He jumped off the freaking steps at the end of that because he's a 75-year-old man. He blew out his ACLs getting into the ring 15 freaking years ago. Like, how is he jumping off the steps? It's just the quads. Yeah. Same. You know what? I don't care what he tore. He could tear it all. Like, what's going on? So he's just normalizing it. And that's like typical abuser behavior.
Exactly. Yes. Normalizing like work power imbalanced, like abuse. Like, it's just I hate it. I truly hate it. I'm not surprised. Sadly, I'm not surprised.
And you know what? I will say the other piece of this too, even looking at WWE.com, it's frustrating because the photos that they have of him in the ring, he's just smiling and cheesing and grinning. And I'm like, we're not going to pull that up on this show. Just so happy Vince McMahon in the ring, despite everything he's done, despite everything that's going on. It's just, it's gross. It is gross.
Yeah. Exactly that. And then on top of that, he called John Cena the greatest WWE superstar of all time. Do we agree?
I think it's okay. I'm okay with it personally, because John Cena, look, the big thing I have against him is he just won't change his clothes. Like, he's always worn the same freaking clothes through generations.
Changes the colors though.
He barely. He has like five colors he's worn, Puya, maybe. So I mean, he knows his brand, but other than that, I mean, yeah, he's had so much staying power. He's had crossover power. Who else is maybe The Rock? But The Rock wasn't even around that much. So I'm not mad at it. I just don't want it to come from Vince's mouth. Puya?
I mean, if I'm getting an endorsement from anyone in the wrestling scene, he is not the one I want the endorsement from. I feel like at this point, though, John will always be in the discussion of, is he one of the best? He's held... Mm-hmm. Hasn't he held the most? No, he's close to Ric Flair's record. Is that where he's at with the?
He's tied with Ric Flair.
He's tied. Okay, there we go. There's that. He's also, you know, been the most active wrestler when it comes to granting Make-A-Wish. Kids. So he's done that. He's obviously now transcended over to Hollywood. Initially very poorly, now very successfully with where he's at. So I can see why he'd get that endorsement. I still think he's one of the few people who, when he makes an entry, everyone's gonna lose their minds. I feel like he's regained some of the respect that he had lost throughout the way, because he used to be a very divisive person. And I feel like, given where the WWE is right now, if he comes back, everyone's like, oh my god, okay, he's back, you're cool, okay, cool. So I feel like he's in the convo. I don't know if he's number one for me, but
right,
I can see him, people debating it, and I can see an argument for him, I guess.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. All right. So, I mean, I'm not hating on John Cena. It's just weird. Like the owner of the company calling you is John Cena okay with this? Like, is John Cena okay? I mean, he's always been associated with WWE, but directly his name coming out of Vince McMahon's mouth at a time like this feels very like, again, McMahon trying to almost get the John Cena rub.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know, and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, that might be a, like, back to the YouTube likes thing. That might be a big reason for the fact that there are so many more likes than dislikes. So
exactly,
we'll see.
Yeah, exactly that. It's like that's what made it feel weird to me. It's like Mr. McMahon trying to like use Cena. First off, he used Cena as a reason for him to come out when we, again, like you said, Matt, he did not need, or Puya, he did not need to announce Cena's coming or whatever. And but now he's also, it felt weird. I didn't like it.
It was weird.
Speaking of conversations for the greatest of all time, are you guys ready for Ric Flair's last match? So 73-year-old Ric Flair will be wrestling at StarCast 5 in Nashville, Tennessee, on July 31st. So July 31st, of course, is SummerSlam weekend. And just how with all of the big shows, there's always smaller wrestling shows around it. And so this will be it. Right now, it's just Ric Flair. We don't know who the opponent is. And he did like a press conference talking about it. okay. So I think we've established on this podcast that we are not fans of watching like older people get beat up. I feel like that is canon. Am I right, Matt?
No comment.
Okay. No comment.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, look, in retrospect, I don't mind it. In the moment, I hate it. Mari, please keep going. This is just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, like, why? As somebody who had the greatest, like, retirement match of all time, just, of course, to basically come out of retirement 6 months later to do indie dates, it's like, I don't understand why he, like, did any of this, to be quite honest.
When was his when was his retirement match?
2008, the Shawn Michaels retirement match.
14 years ago.
Yeah, 14.
Before his heart attack and everything else that hit all this. Was it just a heart attack that he had in, I want to say 2019, 2018?
He's been in and out of the hospital so much, Matt. It was that one summer that Charlotte was gone. Like the whole, I think that was like 2017, something like that. It was when they gave her the belt. Oh god.
Yeah, he was on like almost on death's door. Yeah, August. Yeah. He said August 14th, 2017. He had that surgery after a heart condition.
Yes. Exactly. The Wrestling Observer quoted Ric Flair as saying the only concerns he is health-wise in training and returning was his inner ear issues, his blood thinners, which he said he won't take one that day, and his pacemaker. It's like, and he said you can just plug it back in. So you're worried about everything. Just everything.
What? Like, why? Why do you need to do this? Again, we literally just discussed how you are tied with having the most reigns in WWE with John Cena. You have no reason to do anything. Why? And like, this isn't even going to be I don't know. Listen, I've not been watching the Ric Flair tapes to see how he's been practicing, but I don't think this is going to be like, oh my God, you know, forget SummerSlam. You should have been watching Ric Flair go toe to toe with. Do we have any idea who's rumored to be facing him or just zero?
Zero right now.
What are the odds that we actually know who those people are? Like when they announce them, we'll be like, oh yeah, that's who that is. Or is it just going to be a random person?
No, it can't be a jobber because he's going to need somebody to carry him. So you don't want to entrust that to just a random jobber. Like my first thoughts, if we're going to know the person, maybe Andrade, because that is his, you know, son-in-law now officially. And he is a pretty safe worker from what I understand.
Safe with his father-in-law.
I know. Exactly. Like that. Like I'm really thinking it has to be somebody young and who is a very safe worker. Like you don't, it's not going to be two old people in there throwing down, I don't think.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Like that's the thing with wrestlers who retire and then want to do they get the one more match chance, they get the people pushing them to do it, and some give in, some don't, but then it has to be the right circumstance for you to do that. Like Stone Cold comes out of retirement to face Kevin Owens, hasn't really missed a beat, and it felt like the perfect fit, just out of nowhere. You do this one, you look fine, you go. Ric Flair to me I've not been like excited to see get back in the ring. I don't think ever since he's last one. So to me, this is a match I don't care who the opponent is. I wouldn't watch because I would just be terrified of any botched spots or any.
Exactly.
Like, it's tough to watch. It's not even ooh, I can't wait to see him lose or win. No, it's just uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And the thing is, I definitely, like, I couldn't watch it until at least, like, give me, like, at least a week to watch the clips of that match. Because in the moment, it's stressful. After the fact, it's stressful. I mean, if anyone's seen the movie The Wrestler, it kind of ends with Mickey Rourke's character, Randy the Ram Robinson, apparently dying at the end in the ring with the match. So we don't want that to happen. obviously, but we have good reason to be concerned.
Exactly.
Not necessary. And I agree with what you said, Puya. Just in terms of speculation on who else could it be, you referenced Puya not watching the training videos. I did watch a training video clip like a month or two ago, and it featured, yeah. He survived after the fact, so I was like, look, it's okay. It was wild to see him taking bumps, by the way. And he was training with Jay Lethal who he has a long history with, and who back in TNA Impact Wrestling days, if you're watching on YouTube, here's a picture of him, of Jay Lethal doing the figure four on Ric Flair. They have a history, and they train together, and you know that to me would also feel relatively safe. Maybe because I just saw, you know, Ric Flair take like a back body drop from Jay Lethal and I keep thinking survive because it sounds like I don't know who would approve this match or medically clear him, but
so as someone who probably doesn't know a lot about other promotions outside of WWE and now with like a very lighter look at AEW,
right.
Is StarCast going to like, is the money lucrative here for him? Is he going to get a big payday?
From what I understand, they actually had to upgrade the arena for it. Like it went, they sold out so quickly. They then switched over to another arena, but the arena that they switched over to, if I remember correctly, was like 7,000 seats. So I'm assuming they went from like a small armory to then a venue with 7,000 seats. And most of it's going to be Rick's, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, this is, you know, talking about some, you know, wrestlers coming out of retirement for a one more match or another fight. Like, I don't think this is going to have, like, the Saudi Arabia-backed money that causes, you know, like, The Undertaker to come out for one more or, like, all the older superstars coming out. So, to me, this just doesn't make sense, especially when you're telling me that his last match would have been against Shawn Michaels back in, 14 years ago, correct? 2008?
Yeah, 2008, yeah.
Like, why? I don't know. It just feels like you're coming out of retirement. You have more to lose coming out of retirement to do this. So unless you're securing a big bag that you need, I don't see why you're doing this outside of you miss it and you want to experience it one last time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's scary. I'm scared, y'all. I'm not going to lie.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking up a little bit more information about the StarCast show, and it's saying that Paige might be there too.
Yeah, she is confirmed to be there. I was just going to mention that. That is her, I believe, her first post WWE appearance first appearance in like 4 years because they haven't booked her in WWE, which is really sad. So yeah, Paige will be there. We mentioned that Paige just announced her release from WWE a few weeks ago at this point, so that's coming up, so that'll be cool. But yeah, no, there's no, like, if Ric Flair, I would guess at most that he's getting, I don't know where the money's coming from, but like at most $100,000 for this appearance, and I don't even know what, like, what maybe sponsors pay for that. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the tickets right now. So interestingly enough, also on this weekend for StarCast, the roast of Ric Flair is happening. So that is another part of the weekend festivities here. The prices for this, you would think this is a WWE event. Like,
seriously?
The cheapest ticket, is Upper Bowl, $40. That's the cheapest ticket. Then there's also $80 and $90 for standard lower bowl and premium lower bowl. And then the meet and greets, the bracelets, like, this is, you know, not a little bit. This is quite a bit of scratch here for these tickets.
Yeah, very interesting. And Paige she won't be working StarCast. She'll just be having like a talking segment just in case.
She's not. She is not.
Yeah, wrestling. She's still not cleared for wrestling.
I'm seeing a meet and greet. She's doing the meet and greet as well here.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we are wishing safety on everybody for that weekend.
What world do we live in where Ric Flair can wrestle but Paige can't? She's literally like a third his age. Literally, Well, okay, wait, maybe not quite a third his age, but
almost. Close though. Yeah. I mean, injuries are nothing to play with, and no. You know, some of the, it's not confirmed, but some of the talk going into this was like, oh, Ric Flair went to like 8 different doctors, and of the 8, 7 told him he couldn't compete. You know, like that was like the prevailing narrative. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that narrative. Like, why? No. I hope you're not using this to build the match, because that's not going to make me want to watch the match.
I will say, and just to mention this, I don't know. I want to be careful about this because I don't know a ton about it. But like, Ric Flair has had different legal troubles before. I don't know to what extent he's had financial troubles, if those tie in. But that might be a reason why he's doing this. Mm. But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more. I'm sure we'll talk more about this.
Listen, the hope is that when they start the event and they announce the opponent, you're hoping it's someone who is a good worker, who can carry, and who is safe. But if they say, Ryback, run, delete pay-per-view. Do not watch that pay-per-view.
So true. Oh, yeah. My God. The Miz would be great, too, if, you know, but he's still, I mean, The Miz. And Flair worked together, partnered mm-hmm. with each other briefly in WWE. Miz mm-hmm. Says that Ric Flair was a major influence on him. And, you know, Ric Flair gifted the figure four to Miz. And Miz is one of the safest workers to ever work. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Don't give me that face, Matt.
Well, no, it would be nice to see that. And that's actually a whole other thing that I'm wondering. Like, why are you doing this outside of WWE? And I don't know, you know, Ric Flair has gotten on people's bad side here and there. It happens, but it is interesting that he's not returning to, well, actually, no, it makes sense why he's not returning to a ring in WWE. Let me be clear about that.
Right.
But it is kind of sad because he could, if it was a payday issue or something, he could probably get a payday from WWE or AEW. I guess he just wants to wrestle at the ripe age of 97.
One last main event.
73.
Yeah.
One last main event.
I looked at the meet and greet roster. Bryan Danielson is here for the meet and greet as well.
Yeah.
Miro's in here. Yeah.
It seems like the Starcast mm. or whatever, it's an amalgam of a whole bunch of different promotions. So, And it's 3 days. So it's the whole, as they call it, the Starcast weekend. And Ric Flair's last match is on the 31st, but on the 29th and the 30th, there's going to be like NJPW people are going to be there, Bryan Danielson, and all of that. So it's not just like, you know, unknown.
No, yeah. There's a lot of familiar names here on this meet and greet roster.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes.
We'll see. It Starcast is always a big draw. I think they might have they used to have podcasters like do a lot of live podcasts.
Live,
from it.
Yep.
We haven't been invited yet. So just saying.
Right. All right. Well,
DC to Nashville, cheap flight.
That's it for the news. So if you want to send any long form questions to us, you can email us, send your email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @WrestlingRehapUp or use #WrestlingRehapUp to join the conversation. And of course, you can join our unofficial Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast. Earlier this week, somebody, aka Robert Cesternino, called us cowards and told us to send the invite. And what did I do? I sent him the invite. Guess what? He hasn't done. Accepted it.
Wait.
So balls in your court, Rob C. Rob, the ball is in your court.
Oh my God.
I just cut a promo on our boss.
Oh, that was the promo. Okay.
Bob Rob.
Bob Cesternino. Bob Rob. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So Rob won't join. Well, first of all, I thought he was in Job as a Squadcast. Maybe he's not.
He was not.
But if he's not, Rob, what's good, Rob? Come on, Rob.
The boss is coming in. Delete all the stuff we put in there. Delete all the stuff.
Yeah. It's just a lot of Photoshop pictures of him on wrestlers' bodies.
We should have done that. Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Please, if you haven't already, go subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. You can also catch us. I hope you're looking at us right now on the YouTube page. You can go to YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast, YouTube, search Wrestling Wrap Up, and you will find us. The beginning of the month is coming up. So, a great time to join the RHAP Patreon. If you haven't, you're missing out because we do lots of great things in there. The Patreon Mafia, the 5 for 5, all exclusive content. So sign up by going to www.patreon.com/RHAP to become a patron today.
Yes, and I will mention that on this week's Patron 5 or 5, Rob and for those who don't know, his wife Nicole Cesternino, we're talking about wrestling and how it's affecting their household. Just know, Rob, we have you in our hearts.
All right, let's take a quick ad break.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, so let's get to the highlights of the week. Every week, we bring you the highlights of this week in wrestling across WWE, NXT, and AEW. This week was weird. I don't know how it was a week that was actually like very full of things, but also full of nothing. It's very interesting. But basically, Money in the Bank is next week. Money in the Bank is literally in a week. So, you know, they're doing their last minute booking of everything. But unfortunately, we have to kind of start off the week with some really like bad news because Bianca Belair comes out on Raw stating that she needs a new challenger at Money in the Bank because Rhea Ripley is injured. And it truly kind of came out of left field here. Like, yes. I don't think any of us were really expecting this. So Bianca announced a fatal 5-way match to determine the next challenger between Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, and Carmella. So bad news here, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, bad news. And also, I get that they're very different, but if we look at what happened with Cody Rhodes and the ceremony around him being injured and having to take time off, it is sad that Rhea, you know, didn't even get to record a video message or something to say, hey, mm-hmm. I'm out. Hey, I'll be back. I'm coming for you, Bianca. So Bianca announcing it was fine. And then it was very quickly, as you mentioned, the show must go on. And then, you know, we'll get back to Rhea and Bianca. But I don't know. I wish, especially fresh off that Cody stuff, I wish that we would have had time to hear from her a little bit.
I know. And I get what you're saying. I get that. But my only thought is it had to stay in character. And the reason why, like, since Rhea is a heel, it would kind of be kind of weird for her to announce it gaining some sort of sympathy. So I kind of did like how they announced it with Bianca. Like, normally they just throw up a graphic on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And we find out that way. But I think Bianca actually announcing it by showing that, you know, she kind of gave deference to Rhea, like saying, like, you know, that unfortunately she has some bad news. Rhea's injured. And then she said, she kept that door open, like, I'm a fighting champion. So when she comes back, we're just putting it on pause. Like, I actually truly did like that. I thought it gave, you know, Bianca unfortunately has not had a lot of, they haven't given her much storyline in the last few weeks. And all of her storyline has been wrapped up into somebody else's storyline. We don't know how much the walkout really affected like her. So I actually truly did like like this because it made her look like a. I love a good fighting babyface champion. You know, we all know I like the open challenges. So I thought this did what it needed to do for Bianca. Now, on the flip side, like you said, because Rhea didn't address the injury, people on social media were like, oh, I don't believe it. Oh, it's a work, blah, 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 which led Rhea to have to come out on her Twitter to address the injury rumors by saying, like, because people said she didn't look injured, and she was like, okay, well, I had a brain injury, brain teeth injury, like apparently a few weeks on Raw. She was taking, I think, a DDT from Liv Morgan, and her knee accidentally hit her face. And we knew that she had to get her teeth fixed. Yeah, she had posted about getting her teeth fixed a while back, but now I guess they've done some continual scans and maybe it might be concussion issues or something like that. So it's like, people be kind. Puya, what do you think about all this?
I mean, it's unfortunate, right? You never want to see or hear about a wrestler getting injured and sidelined, especially if they're on the road to, you know, a bigger feud or a title match. So it's an unfortunate time for it to come through here. That being said, like, people need to lay off when wrestlers are injured. Don't trivialize it. They tell you they're sidelined, take the sideline. Do not go onto the internet and like, give us proof. Why?
Right.
Like, what are you, the principal? You need a medical note? Like, get out of here.
So true. It doesn't make any sense.
It's real, but it also, I mean, I get where it comes from, because it's weird because I believe that she was in, I knew that she was injured when it was announced because it was on the dirt sheets and stuff. But it's kind of the thing where it's like wrestling works the fans so much that's like, really? Are you playing? Prove it. Prove it. But yeah, people go a little too far, obviously, as Rhea pointed out. And I'm glad that she could clap back a little bit on people questioning her teeth brain injury because they couldn't see it.
Yeah. And like, it sucks because that, like we were saying, I think last week or the week before, like, that is a match that I love whenever they step in the ring together. And I think having this alignment, I can't wait to see how that works. And then Rhea with the Judgment Day was doing so like so good and stuff. So it sucks, but hopefully, you know, she's not, doesn't seem like she'll be out too long. Hopefully maybe we'll still look at a SummerSlam match between the two of them. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. But however long it takes is how long it takes. You know what I'm saying? And Rhea's Twitter game is still so strong between posting fans like fan art of her, which is like just amazing. You love when wrestlers like respond to fans in such positive ways, to also just posting thirst traps and being like, here, stay fed, y'all. Like, it's just so funny.
Yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned fan art, and I don't know if she had, if this is new, but she had this like picture, she has this profile picture on Twitter that she's basically just pointing at her teeth. And I don't know when this happened, but clearly she is she's definitely a good sport about all of this, right?
Go check out her timeline because it's just full of people, like, it's full of so much really cool fan art of her, and then also her retweeting people's like thirsting after her. It's very hilarious. She sees you. She sees
Does she
you
see search that. For the tweets or is she tagged in the tweets?
No, she's tagged in most of it. So.
Okay, good for her.
She's tagged in most of it. So we hope she gets better soon. So this led to Carmella winning the Fatal 5-Way. So we're getting Carmella versus Bianca Belair at Money in the Bank. The great Edmo asked us, Carmella versus Bianca, thoughts? I mean, makes sense. I mean, because Carmella being in the Money in the Bank match does nothing at this point, since she's won it twice already. Being the first Miss Money in the Bank and even in the redo, and, you know, really great iterations of the match itself. So, like, her being in it doesn't really help. she hasn't been doing much. And her and Bianca, that is one of the people, she is one of the people on the main roster where her and Bianca can sub in a match, like be put in a match at last minute and they go. So it makes all the sense in the world to me. Now, are we excited about it? Of course. We're like, no, we're meh, because this is not a feud. Yeah. It just started. We got a week to go, you know, and the whole I'm just want to come here for your title thing is not fun. But again, like most of everything that happens, you're going to have bad creative, but then the women or the wrestlers are going to go in there and show out. So, you know, Carmella and Bianca never disappoint. And so I'm excited to watch it. I'm just glad Bianca is doing something. I get to see her on my TV. So, and it kind of makes sense because the rest of them are already in Money in the Bank. Like Liv and Alexa are already in. Only Becky and Asuka were still fighting for a spot, and they ended up doing a qualifying match later that night, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So it made sense. So, and Carmella, they haven't utilized Carmella at all since she came back from her wedding. So,
yeah, she's like, she's weirdly underrated is what I would call her, because she's been around a good while now. She's solid in the ring. Like, we don't really have any complaints about that. She wears those like kind of like sexy zookeeper outfits once in a while, which, you know, you have to appreciate. And you know, it's, but you know, I'm glad that she's getting more opportunities to shine, even though it is a match that we, like, literally a year ago, I remember, I think it was Bayley was out and then Carmella was the replacement, and she's like the go-to. Was she the replacement for someone earlier this year in a match with Bianca too?
I can't remember, but Carmella is good for that. And poor Bianca, this is the third time that some, like, a major opponent has been switched up on her at a major pay-per-view. Like, this is what happened to her and Bayley in their last Women Standing match at Money in the Bank last year. It's what happened to her at SummerSlam when that's what it was, Matt. When at SummerSlam, when Sasha got pulled and Carmella came out, and we thought it was going to be Carmella, but it ended up being Becky. And then this time, so poor Bianca. Yeah. It sucks that it keeps happening to her too, as well. And people are like, "Oh, is she cursed? She's not cursed. It happens."
Right.
Like, the injury bug is truly going around right now.
Yep.
Unfortunately. And I agree that I think Carmella is very underrated, mostly because we know that she can pull off a character, because she's pulled off many characters, and that she is actually really solid in the ring. Like I said, if it's unfortunate for her that she came right at the same time, or like right after the Four Horsewomen, because she's always going to be associated with them, when she's like, just as, like, she's good technically, but they're always just like a level above. It's just weird. Like, Carmella's so good. She's actually really good in ring. But I don't know if it's her booking that doesn't follow it up. Like, her last really good storyline, you know, like the Reggie storyline was good, but it wasn't based on her wrestling. You know what I'm saying? They based so many of her gimmicks on her looks that it makes us think that she's not a good wrestler. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cause it feels like, when I think of Carmella, anytime I've dropped off WWE, picked her back up, dropped off, it's like she's always been there consistently from the jump, but then she was like linked with Ellsworth while people were doing impressive stuff. And like, I feel like that was a time where she's just distracted with that. Then there was Reggie. So I feel like because she hasn't really, she ends up in these positions where she's linked to other people that aren't really high up on the chart, she gets forgotten as someone who can consistently perform. I forgot about the fact that she's won it twice, and she won the first one, Mari. So when you mentioned that, I was like, yeah, it's clear as day. You're giving Carmella a spot, giving her a pay-per-view match, giving her the pay-per-view payday. Bianca will most likely, I assume, retain, and then we just move over to SummerSlam. And these two can, you know, put out a good match, I feel like. So I think that all the way around, this is a great choice. Now, the hope is maybe we see more from Carmella in the future doing something. Because I do think she is someone who's, and before that, she was like the third person in the Enzo and Big Cass linkage. So
exactly.
I feel like often she keeps getting paired up in more minimal spots with people that are, you know, the spotlight's on them more. And her I think and that's why she doesn't get.
Ooh.
Oh, my her God. I forgot too. About that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that was
yep.
fun. The dance
it was
break.
Fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, though. Like, it's not that she and most of the all of those pairings have actually been really good and really successful.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's almost like Carmella. It's as if Carmella is wrestling in 2010. Like, I feel like she's specifically being told to dumb down her moveset to fit her characters. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
ooh.
Yeah, like I really think that she can go, like a lot of women in that era, she can go, but her character just doesn't dictate her to go. Like, yeah. just like with the Ellsworth stuff, like she was a chicken shit heel who was supposed to try and do everything in their power to get out of the matches, including using a man that had no chin. Like, that was the whole point of her character. So, she's constantly having to, you know, her and R-Truth would run all around the arena. It was so hilariously. Like, I truly feel like she can be held back from doing things just because of what she's done. And I think with the matches that she had with Bianca over the last, like, what, the last 2 years, really gave her a chance to, like, step up and show out. Truly, even though there wasn't like much story attached to most of their matches, so yeah, this is a Carmella appreciation moment here. Like, yeah. So let's move on. So Elias and Ezekiel are in the building. We finally get the two brothers side by side. I don't know why anybody needs any more proof other than this. I think this is solid, hands down proof that Ezekiel is Elias's little brother.
WWE.com posted some great pictures of the two of them together, which we are showing. Hopefully you're watching on YouTube. But wow. Yeah. I mean, they're clearly, this is, you can't deny it. They are together in these pictures. And we did see a segment of them together in the same room, on the same couch, in fact.
Yeah. Puya, have you been keeping up with the Elias Ezekiel stuff?
Yeah. So like I said, for me, when it comes to wrestling, I'll be on top of everything, then I'll drop off, then I'll be on top of everything, then I'll drop off. Right. So I dropped off right around where Ezekiel gets introduced and mm-hmm. Kevin Owens is like, no, you are Elias. And then I came back and it was still happening. Then I left, then I came back and it's still happening, but it's fun every time. Like, it has no business being as entertaining as it is. And maybe that is a bad look at what the product has been for a little bit, potentially. But I enjoyed this. I feel like part of me almost feels like I would want Elias back more because, especially given how in this week, Elias is not being a heel. He's kind of, you know, bigging up the Nebraska audience and being nice. So a face Elias could intrigue me. But it was nice to see him back. I had seen people saying, you know what they're going to do? You know what they should do? They should bring in Damian Sandow to play the role of Ezekiel because he's also bearded and he does imitate. He can do imitate like he did with Mizdow. I was like, listen, if we're going to get Damian Sandow back somehow, I'm not mad at this. But I mean, WWE did a perfect job of completely selling this illusion that they are the different people. But it was fun. I had fun.
I think I said a couple weeks ago they needed to do a face off kind of moment, and you know on Renap over on Renap, Rob Nikiva covered face off. I do think they should just do the surgeries and make two because they obviously do. He wasn't born with a brother, but yeah, make two of them. Why not?
I think it's funny. I agree with you, Puya. When they first did this, I was like, where are you going to go with this? And like, there was a point where I was like, okay, this is really funny. I talked with Rob about it, and he was telling me how this is Rob's favorite storyline, and how I had initially got him into the storyline. And I liked the storyline at the beginning, but then it did feel like it was dipping, like it was going on too long. But this is the part that they really made it fresh. Like, WWE is really good at, like, running something into the ground, like truly, utterly running something into the ground. So the fact that this is going on this long, but it's still just as entertaining. And then they leveled up. It's just hilarious. It's amazing.
Yeah. And we could, do we call this long-term storytelling? It's long-term for WWE.
I
like it.
How long has it been? What was it? After WrestleMania?
Maybe the Raw after WrestleMania.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
It's been a minute. Exactly. And it's like really paying off. Like, this was so funny. And can I just say, whoever laid that beard, oh my gosh, that was better hair work than all of Tyler Perry movies combined. Like, that beard looked really good. I was like, they did a great job.
Wait a minute.
Look like Elias.
Oh my God. Whoa, wait, I didn't even think about the fact that one of them
didn't grow a beard in a week.
Yes. That full, thick old beard, yes. And that that's like
a good looking beard.
Damn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Extra props.
Yeah, extra props. Like, props to the weave and hair department. Like, y'all did that because it looks like Elias. So,
face weave.
And like Puya said, I kind of do want the Elias character back, which is like I was telling you guys in pre, like the comments under the YouTube of this is like, oh, I'm so glad Elias is back. And oh, Elias hasn't missed a step, even though he's been out for months. Like, it's so funny. It's still hilarious. And I think like 70% of it is people like wanting, like, missing, they're glad that Elias, the character, is back, you know,
what's the other 30%?
they really believe that
I just wanted you to say it.
But it culminates with Elias having a concert, KO coming out to interrupt the concert in full KO heel mode, because you know KO is a heel when he mentions he's French Canadian and he's smarter than everybody in the room.
Is it true? I mean, maybe.
He was like, Canadian heat isn't enough. I'm also French Canadian. Yes. Need more heat.
That was a lot. Yeah.
Well, so I love when he does that.
Yeah, that's the thing with the whole Ezekiel storyline, is that they really picked the right person to make it entertaining. Kevin Owens being outraged is always phenomenal. So it's been fun. My worry for this situation with Ezekiel is eventually these two are going to be done with each other, right? Where does Ezekiel, the wrestler, go moving forward? I feel like the look is limiting. I feel like I don't know where they would want to put him, where they would slot him. Whereas if Kevin Owens like beats Ezekiel very, very brutally, goes ham on him, that could open the door for Elias to come save his brother and for Elias to make the permanent switch back. I feel like that's what I want personally.
How do they do that?
He would have to go away for a couple of months, grow the beard, then come back. That's what needs to happen.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. So, like, you have Kevin Owens brutally attack Ezekiel and announce that Ezekiel is on the shelf, and then you have Elias come back. I mean, we always love a good, you have him return at the Rumble, but that, again, that's 6 months away.
A beard like that would take, like, if I shaved all of this will come back in about 3 weeks. So, it'll come back quick. Wow. Yeah. Hmm. A beard like Elias's would need probably 2 months, but it'll be back in 2 months. Yeah.
Good to know.
2 months.
Yeah.
I like how you like really are like, okay, confidently it will take only 2 months.
Yeah. Well, it's because I, back in university, I used to try different styles out, and I knew I could get away with it because, worst case scenario, if I messed it up or anytime I was trimming my beard, if I didn't balance them right, I could just get rid of all of it and it'll be back in about 2.5 weeks. I'll have like the beard back. So it was a good fail safe measure, you know?
Nice. Yeah, I agree. Like I do want him to transition back to Elias because it just made you want that gimmick back. I did like Rob's suggestion when we were talking about like Elias being like the three faces of Foley, like if he could introduce a third, like that would kind of be brother. Like an older brother. Say Kevin Owens, say we get Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens at SummerSlam, and it'll be like a loser quits WWE match, right?
Mm-hmm.
KO beats Ezekiel, has to quit WWE. But 2 weeks later, we get Ezekiel and Elias's older brother, insert name with E here, and it's another different gimmick that, again, KO then feuds with for the next few months, get rid of him, and then at the Rumble, we get all three of them. That would be hilarious. That would be a great way to keep it going. And I think he has, like, Elias has the, I was like, should I call him Elias or Ezekiel? Like, it's just so, it's so messed up. Exactly. He has the chops. He clearly has the chops, the acting chops. He has the audience behind him. And then he has the great foiling in Kevin Owens. So make it happen. Like, keep stretching it. Keep it going. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm actually fine with saying that right now.
Or, you know, another direction they could take it in with the Elias Ezekiel thing is they could just have it where Elias becomes a bad influence on Ezekiel. Like I think of Dexter, and like maybe Elias is Ezekiel's dark passenger and just starts negatively influencing him. We get like the heel version of him. I like your idea a lot better, but I don't know what this older brother would look like. I do think what would be cool for WWE to do would be like maybe a street fight at some point where they go backstage out of view of the audience, and then they just like have switch, you know, one of them run. Yeah, they just switch it up or something, or have
that,
you know,
would be really
recorded
cool
run in. Hopefully they do that at some point. Like, that's one reason I'm glad that this storyline hasn't ended, because there's so much that they could do that would be funny.
Use those expensive cameras. Like, you guys already started with them being in the same room here. Like, do something fun and have the twin magic going. Something like it's truly been really, really fun. I like it. And again, wrestling does not need to be serious all the time. Like, it doesn't. No. You know,
great when it's not.
Yeah. And this is truly been making me laugh a little bit. So I like it. On SmackDown, we got Pat McAfee challenging bum-ass Corbin to a SummerSlam match. And even though this feud is like just starting and it's kind of low on the radar, I just give me more of Pat McAfee continuously calling Corbin a bum-ass and then getting in the ring, because I just rewatched his WrestleMania match against Austin Theory again. That was a good match. I keep forgetting, like, Pat can, like, legit go. So I want to see him in Corbin at SummerSlam. So I'm down with this. I like this. And I'm so glad that Corbin has moved on from Madcap Moss. I'm so sick and tired of that. So this was cute. I like this. I like Pat. Pat McAfee is such a good promo. So I just had to include this in there. Are you looking forward to Bum-Ass Corbin versus Pat McAfee?
Yes. Pat, I feel like, is able to hold down the audience when he needs to. I feel like the promo work was great. There was a moment when he said, "and the millions," and I was like, "that's not yours. Don't you say that again." Then he gave credit. He cited The Rock. I was like, "okay, I'll allow it. But no, I think he's been a great addition into the mix here. I feel like I don't need him to be wrestling every week, but if you're going to get him for a, you know, another big four pay-per-view potentially, that I'm not mad at all. So, and I feel like Corbin's a good one to pick to go with here. And I feel like he'll be able to, you know, diss him all the way there. And I think it'll be fun. I think the promo work has been what I've enjoyed the most, but he's not bad in the ring either. So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, first of all, when standing on the announce table became Pat McAfee's thing. It was like basically from his debut on SmackDown. But it's amazing that he was just able to carve that out. Like, if you stand on the announce table, you're stealing my gimmick, which I love that. Love the shout out to the millions. Love, and you know what? I also do appreciate him calling Corbin an insufferable douchebag, because, you know, accurate.
Yeah. The accuracy.
Yes, we love that.
Yes. And Pat McAfee is just so good on the announce table. Like, that's one reason why
on top of it or
both.
Just in general? Okay.
Both. And I don't know if people know, but like, if you go to a SmackDown show, like they post it sometimes on the YouTube, but like in between like commercials, sometimes Pat McAfee will do the McAfee Minute on SmackDown, and he'll stand up on the booth like that and just like go and promo for the audience and stuff. And so, like I said, sometimes they put it on YouTube, sometimes they don't, I think, but he's just really good at getting the crowd invested. He's a really good announcer. Like, one of the things I truly hate about Raw is I hate the announce team on Raw. Like, they have absolutely no chemistry. The lead guy still doesn't know the name of certain wrestling moves, and I feel like he's been here for at least almost a year at this point. I don't even know his name. I just remember they snatched up that other guy and placed this guy here. And then poor Byron Saxton is always getting called names by Corey Graves. So I just can't, I can't do it.
And then Corey Graves, and we don't have to go there, but.
And the reason why I know old dude, I mean, other than actually knowing the wrestling moves myself, right. But the reason why I know that old dude doesn't know the wrestling moves is because he'll say a wrestling move and Corey will immediately undermine him and say the correct one. And I'm just like, what is happening? Oof. Like, yeah, it's big oof. Like, Raw commentator's table is very, very bad. So I truly appreciate what Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are doing on SmackDown. And from all intents and purposes, from what we understand, they love having Pat McAfee as the announcer with Michael Cole. Like, him and Michael Cole are, like, really close now. And so I'm just hoping, like, this is something that stays very long-term. But we know how WWE likes to have a small turnaround for the people, you know, that aren't the problem. They'll keep problem people around. Johnny Ace. But
Vince McMahon.
Turnaround for others, it can be short. So just like giving out a lot of appreciation today.
Yeah. I used to hate Michael Cole back in like the late 2000s, early 2010s. When he was just playing the heel role too much. I remember watching NXT before it was a promotion and when it was a reality show, and he was awful at pumping up the product there. I despised him. I have such a newfound appreciation for him over the last couple of years. I think, and I think him and Pat are a great combo. The Raw team is wild, yo. What is this combination? More and more, it's weird because, you know, growing up, Raw was always the A show and SmackDown was the B show. You wouldn't know that was the case now. It really is just weird.
Because it's not the case now. SmackDown truly is the number one show now because they have been consistently getting ratings over 2 million viewers. But then again, it is, you know, cable television.
Right, the Fox bump.
The Fox bump. So, yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, keep going.
There's nothing else to go off of. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we've had people in the commentary booth the last couple of years that really came and went. Like, I don't know who the new guy is, but I feel like there are a lot of people. We had Mauro, who ends up becoming the host of Beyond the Edge, was on WWE. Right. He's vanished. I don't know what happened.
What happened was he was really good, but him and JBL, JBL bullied him out of the spot. And then exactly.
And JBL's still like brought in for pay-per-view pre-shows, and he doesn't need to be. No one should choose choose JBL over Mauro Ranallo.
Exactly.
Yeah, no one.
Mauro was doing a great job in NXT, and then he had to step down for mental health reasons too.
Mauro has a great wrestler announcer. Like, you know what? Specifically wrestling commentary. Yeah. So
that's really good. Upsetting. Yeah. And that very upsetting. Then we had, you know, Renee Young was on the announce table, but even she kind of, from what we heard, felt bullied off of the announce.
And she was great too.
Yeah. So, I just, not having Beth Phoenix on regular announced team NXT. Anymore. Yeah, she is on NXT. It's just like.
She was on NXT.
She was. Yeah, she was. Now it's, who's on NXT now? It's Wade Barrett and.
Probably Nigel McGuinness, maybe.
I don't know if Nigel's there anymore.
I don't know. I'm like, there's a.
It's the other guy, Jordan.
So. You know, Mari, it's the, oh, maybe it's the that, guy.
That's so bad.
Kyle?
Like,
Kyle?
Not knowing the announced team is like.
I do think his name's probably Kyle.
It just misses. Yeah. it's a whole like portion of the package that is just missing or really bad, you know, and it just adds to the overall feeling that the product isn't good. Who is it, Matt?
Vic Joseph.
We know the Vic, former 205 Live commentary.
That's who I thought was Kyle.
Yeah.
So the new guy on Raw is Jimmy Smith. But then before him, there was a guy there for about a month and a half called Adnan Verk.
Yeah, Adnan Verk.
Yeah, Adnan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What? Yeah. Why did they get rid of him? Was he not good?
Probably not. I mean, so, it's hard to be good in that situation. Like he definitely didn't gel with them.
Yeah. So from what we understood, the pressure was too much because he was still learning like all the names of the moves. He had a really nice voice. I did like him, but he couldn't really take trying to call the match and listen because that's the main thing. Like he was saying, like he was always getting instructions constantly being yelled into your ear while you're also trying to talk.
Watch,
so it can be
talk,
very
yeah.
hard yeah to do, and that's another thing that Renee Young also complained about as well. So yeah, he just couldn't, he after like a month or so he and then a not really good fan reaction, he just kind of said it's not worth it. I did feel bad for Adnan.
Could you imagine having Vince McMahon in your ear, like just period, telling you what, let alone telling you what to say, but just his voice like in your ear as you're on live TV, especially now?
I don't know what unsavory shit he's going to be yelling into my ear, but I'm not going to be here for it.
Yelling, especially.
Yeah.
They, like, tell them it's disrespectful. Tell the audience it's disrespectful. They walked away. Blah, 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 blah. Like, no thanks. Shut up. No.
I want to say it was Renee. I hope I'm not misquoting her. But yeah, if you get something wrong, he's like yelling at you right then and there as you're still trying to push through. So it can be very distracting. Jeez. Yeah, commentary's been trash, truly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into these Money in the Bank qualifying matches. So Matt, do you have the graphics for who is? We'll start with the women.
We'll see if there's a graphic of the match to pull up, but
the match today. Yeah,
because I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have graphics online for who's in it. But
so far we have Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez and Asuka, and Shotzi are currently qualified with, I think, one spot remaining, if I remember correctly.
Yes. And by the way, and there is a graphic of them from WWE.com. Thank you, WWE, for always being on point with your photos, unlike AEW, who needs to step it up. But I think this is up to date. We're seeing Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Lacey Evans, Asuka, and Shotzi, who doesn't have a last name anymore.
Yeah, they got Raquel grinning so widely.
Okay, Mari. Let's not talk about how she's very happy for being kind of in the middle of the, she's doing well, but like middle of the pack, you know?
I also think that there's still one spot open though, too. If I saw like the graphic from last night at the bottom of the match cards, I think there is one more spot open. I can't remember. Let me Google.
I'm 411 Mania is a website I used to keep up with a lot.
Yeah.
On their updated list, it says versus two more TBD. So it could be
two more?
Eight.
Allegedly.
That seems like a lot.
I feel like they've done eight.
Eight?
But I mean, I'm trying to think who is going to be on? Who are you going to put in here?
Becky.
Okay, so probably
and Becky's going to find a way on that.
Yeah,
Becky's
she'll find a way.
Yeah.
I don't know on the women. Smackdown.
Who's the other one, you think, if there's two?
Are they doing it 4-4, like 4 from SmackDown, 4 from Raw officially? Because right now it is 3-3.
That makes sense. I could see that being the case, right? And then you have one more qualifying match on each pro, brand this upcoming week before the pay-per-view. That could check out.
Yeah. And then they normally, like, sometimes they'll do a last chance match for the last spot.
Yes.
So all the women who lost might be in that last chance spot. So for SmackDown, we're probably looking at Shayna Baszler, Tamina. Oh, that's kind of it for SmackDown. Of the two
Xia Li.
Okay, yes, there it is. Xia Li, Tamina and Shayna Baszler. Maybe they'll do a triple threat to figure out who's the third. And then on Raw, Doudrop and Nikki.
Oh.
And then Becky Lynch.
There's also Aaliyah on SmackDown.
Right.
It's just like the deep polls of like who else is actually there.
Who else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So normally they might do something like that. I'm just trying to see. So back in 2020, the participants in the match were reduced from 8 to 6. So.
Was that
it was 8 initially, and then it was 6 in 2020. Let's see what it was in 2021. So in 2021.
Looking like for the men's, we have 5, and then here it says 3 more. So I think they've pushed it back up to 8, which is ironic that they're doing this now when the rosters are more thin than they've been in a minute.
Exactly. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. Okay. So it was 8 7. Last year. Okay. I was counting.
Okay,
so
7. What?
So last year when Nikki A.S.H. won, it was 8 people total. So okay. So yeah. So it looks like it'll be 8. So we're still missing a few people here then. Which means we probably won't have a full roster before we do our review podcast.
We could make things up. Like always.
You could call your shot just boldly, be like, with full confidence, yeah, so I feel like Doudrop got this. Like,
this is the winner. I mean, Matt, can you bring the already announced women back up, please?
Yeah, the picture.
Yeah, I could bring up the picture. But yeah, I don't... Are you trying to figure out who fits in the picture, Mari?
No. I'm trying to think of... So of the women who have currently are already qualified, do we have any inklings of who might win?
No.
Like our pre-reviews? I know Puya maybe wanted to talk about it.
Puya, you have one.
I do love me some Money in the Bank. Interesting. Same. Because for me, there's a couple people on here who I don't know how their build up has been as a contender in the last couple months. So, for example, I'm looking at this and I'm like, is this where Alexa Bliss gets another opportunity to like jump back to the top? But Lacey Evans, they seemed like they were going to do that, but then they hot potatoed the hell out of it where you're good. No, you're face now. No, you're a heel. Oh, you're on Raw. No. Get back here. You're on SmackDown. So I don't know if they're going to do that again. Can you speak on Shotzi and Raquel for me? Because they're two new, for me, very new experiences here.
So Shotzi just qualified last night, and up until this point, she's kind of just been like jobbing.
She hasn't even really been there though, like constantly.
Exactly. She was the one who was like trying to build up like a resistance, like, hey, why do certain people only certain people get title shots? Like, we need to be demanding title shots. And she's supposed to be a heel, and she's been trying to, like, she's been kind of going up against Ronda Rousey a little bit, but she's just literally just been jobbing Ronda. So, Raquel, on the other hand, Raquel Rodriguez, they've been like really pushing her. So like a lot. And as we saw, she's kind of in the forefront of that picture there. The reason why I don't think Alexa, first off, again, we've only had four. I think it's only been 4 women's Money in the Banks.
Carmella,
Alexa, Bailey, Becky. No.
Five?
What? No, Becky five? Hasn't won it. Six? Sorry. No, no, no.
Nikki
Carmella and Carmella. Yeah, Carmella and Carmella. It was Alexa was second, if I remember correctly. Then it was Bailey.
Bailey won?
Then was it Nikki ASH? Yeah, Bailey won in cash in that night. They had it where they cashed in the same night back to back.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. I thought Becky won it at some point too. But maybe I'm tripping. Look, I have it up. Don't even pull it up because I have it up. Carmella, Alexa
there's been
Bliss,
six.
Bailey,
you missed Asuka.
Asuka, duh. Yeah, Asuka. And then Nikki ASH. Yeah. Okay, so I don't like repeats. I never like repeats, but it makes more sense to have repeats in the men since they've been doing it for like 15 years, but the women, it's only been six, so I don't want any repeats there, so I don't want Alexa to win. Carmella's not in it. I don't want Asuka to win it. And Alexa and Liv still are kind of, it's looking like they might push towards a tag team still.
Yeah.
Because Alexa was kind of like sticking up for Liv in that segment on Raw earlier in the week. So I hope it sucks because I want Liv to kind of win it.
We'll talk more about this in our predictions episode, but I think it's going to be someone on the SmackDown side just because they need to have someone up against Ronda Rousey next. Right now it's Natalya Neidhart. Mm-hmm. And she's doing her thing with Ronda, which is they need someone. They need an excuse to put someone in this. Yeah, no, she's amazing. And it's also probably really great work from Natalya. But we'll get there eventually.
So I agree, Matt. I'm thinking it's either going to be Lacey Evans or Raquel Rodriguez. I'm going to struggle remembering her new name, I swear. I can definitely see it being either one of the two of them, unfortunately. All right, let's go to the men's side.
Let's do it. So
for the men who already qualified, it's Omis, Sami Zayn, now McIntyre and Sheamus, and Seth freaking Rollins. So yeah, just five guys. Interesting.
Burgers and fries.
Yeah. So we're looking for three more people. Seth and Omis are from Raw. The other three are from SmackDown.
Yeah.
So there's no way I can't see that AJ Styles. You can't tell me that AJ Styles isn't getting in on this match, but also there's Riddle too.
Wait, AJ? I mean, AJ might have the.
There's two from Raw, right? Right
there's
now,
two
so
from Raw,
there could be both of them. Could be the ones that fit in here, Riddle and.
Oh, that's about true.
AJ,
But then there's like AJ and Finn Balor could have their little thing with Damian Priest and Finn Balor, right?
Did we that didn't get thing? Anything from Judgment Day this week though? Because there were
no,
did we? Right?
Nothing we from Judgment Day. We did not.
Yeah.
And we didn't really last week. Last week we got like the video promo, but nothing in the ring unless I'm misremembering.
Yeah. Seth freaking Rollins did come out to mess with Riddle too. Maybe you'll get AJ Styles and Riddle versus Judgment Day to see who qualifies.
Oh man, Riddle's gonna end up in this match, isn't he?
He is, unfortunately.
I'm glad that they put Omis in here, though, because, you know, there's like all I could think as I was watching that match, I was like, watch out for the big boy. Like, bring him in here.
Right.
That would have been a travesty if he lost to Riddle there.
And Bobby I don't Lashley. Think
Bobby Lashley could
he
be
won't,
in here.
No, he
no, because he's
he
got
won't.
A match.
He's got a match against Austin Theory. So,
yeah.
So it makes sense. I think it has to be like one of those four, unless they throw Miz somewhere in there.
Yeah, there's no sign of Miz could be in the mix. I feel like what's funny though is that I don't know who the other three are going to be, but I feel like our winner is on this poster right now.
Oh, okay, I kind of agree, but who are you thinking?
I think it's Seth. I just to me.
Really?
Death is because I'm thinking about where we're headed with these titles, right? Roman is going to verse Brock Lesnar again. Who's going to take the title off of one of them? And to me, Seth is the clearest one that would give a new direction to the title. So that's where I think they would go. And also, obviously, Seth has one of the most iconic cash-ins of all time. So a sequel to that would be pretty sick. And like you mentioned, the men have had a lot of winners. So if they one of them wins twice again, it's fine. Is this allowed? Well, we'll allow it. So I could see it being him, but I do think this is a stellar group of people. I've been a big Sheamus guy since he debuted. I did like Sheamus from jump. So, you know, seeing him here is always fun. Sami Zayn is great. This is great. There's a great group of where I feel like if any of them win, I'll take it. I'm not mad at it.
I see what you're saying. I just like Seth had one of the greatest Money in the Bank runs of all time. So why fuck that up? You know what I'm saying? Like, why try and do it again? It's like, don't mess with history, you know?
Mari, WWE.
Yeah, WWE, like, WWE, you know?
Yeah, we're watching Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, part 17. Like,
I'm tired.
I wish it was 17. Yeah. It feels like 87, truly. I agree. But I also, for me, I think it's leaning towards Drew. To me, because Drew still has the babyface backing on SmackDown. They basically kind of laid the groundwork for an already built-in storyline of Drew versus Roman. And the rumblings have been Drew versus Roman for a long time. So, you know, Paul Heyman trying to get Sheamus and Drew removed from the match, having to go through the Usos. But then the Usos being, you know, the Street Profits distracting the Usos, giving Sheamus and Drew the win, or should I say helping them secure the win. I think it kind of means you've already kind of built in a feud there for Roman and Drew. So, and then Paul Heyman already bringing up that Sheamus had successfully cashed in on Roman before. I think it could be a strong case for Drew here.
I'm not mad at that. Drew hasn't won, which would be fun to see. I have a question about one of the past winners of the Money in the Bank briefcase, if I may. So I'm looking at this list. Otis won in 2020.
Yeah, he did.
But then in the who did he face and did he win or not, it's blank. What happened?
Yeah.
Who took that from him, Mari?
Miz. The Miz.
Oh, that's why it says the Miz Hell in a Cell next. That makes sense. So he won the briefcase off of him?
It was a long, drawn-out story that involved lawyers and court.
By the way, one of my favorite Money in the Bank... Actually, no, we'll call it my favorite Money in the Bank match, possibly... yet was that 2020 Money in the Bank where they did it at WWE headquarters where it was like the women's match and men's match intertwined. It's very funny.
I should go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they did all that. That did kind of, cause I'm remembering and I'm looking at it cause the Miz took it away from Otis. All of that, and the Miz did actually win the belt just to give it to Bobby Lashley. Started the Hurt business. That was kind of worth it, though. It was kind of worth it.
Sure, it was worth it.
I feel bad for Otis. So.
And this is kind of why I feel good about. Well, this is why I think Seth would win here is because they don't know what they're doing. Like, Mari, they had no... I'm sure when Miz won the briefcase, they didn't say, oh, we're going to have him cash in here and then use him as the transitional champion to give it to Bobby Lashley. They didn't know. There's no way that WWE had that figured out. And so I think putting it in the hands of someone like Seth, who's kind of versatile in that way, where you could put him in there for like a clean feud with the champion or have him reasonably beat someone and get the win, like it could make sense. He could get a pin on Roman and cash in successfully. And then everything you said about Drew also is very true, where he's similarly like legitimate enough where they don't need to know what they're going to do. if they just give it to him and let him hold it for a little bit.
Do you think there's a chance, let's move ahead real quick, of Brock Lesnar versus Roman? Is there any chance Brock's going to take the titles and win?
At this point, I do not care.
Trust.
No, I don't even know.
Here's a bit of interesting look I'm having here. So Seth won the Money in the Bank, cashed it in on Brock Lesnar, took the belt. Then 4 years later, 5 years later, Brock wins Money in the Bank, cashed it in on Seth Rollins, won the title. So this could be a part three of that same chain of events, which could be interesting. But I want whoever wins the Money in the Bank to cash in successfully. That's my only requirement. Legally, you must win. If it's a failed cash in, I'm going to be very mad. So
we'll see.
And I would like a surprise one, because last year, Big E, amazing man that he is, announced his cash in ahead of time, which was great because he beat Bobby Lashley for it. But a good surprise one would be great. We might mean we need a heel to have it, which would point to Seth. I don't know. I just don't know why we're trying to do the same story like we do, like the third, the triple. Like, I don't understand like why we're doing this, but I don't know. I am not excited. Yeah, I'm truly not excited for this last man standing match.
Good for WWE. They have so much money now that they're just like, they'll just let them wrestle. Just like, they're just letting whatever happens. As long as they get it, like, as long as it seems like they're putting in at least a little bit of effort, I think that they're good with that. It's kind of sad, though.
All right. So, yeah, like me and Matt said, we'll go way more in depth with the Money in the Bank match and the whole card on our preview show. You can expect that during the week, like we normally do. But finally, before we take a break, I want to talk about Wes Lee's promo on NXT 2.0. NXT 2.0, still good. You know, it's so very interesting what's going on there. Again, it's one of those things where when I'm apathetic for wrestling, it kind of takes a toll on all of the wrestling, you know? So I was so excited about NXT 2.0 so many months ago, but it's kind of all just zapped with, you know, everything that's been going on lately. But I did want to bring up this promo because I thought Wes Lee did a great job in this promo. And I really hope that this is a step and a push that he needs to go solo, because most of his career, from what I understand, has been in a tag team with Nash Carter. I forget what his real name is. Both inside of WWE and, of course, outside of WWE as the Radicals. Rascals, whatever. So this was a great promo. I like that they let him reference Nash Carter and having to drop him and all of that. Ooh. Yeah. And then what?
Just keep going, Mari.
and then Trick Williams truly is just a treasure coming out, interrupting him.
Right.
And so this was just a really good promo.
That was the star for me of this promo was Trick Williams, because I mean, look, Wes Lee comes out and he's like, you know, he's starting to cry. He's tearing up. He's like, I'm not afraid to cry. And I'm like, okay, nobody said that you were. It's okay. But like, he's getting upset. I think for me, the promo was really great, Mari, and he's a great competitor, and I want to see him thrive. I didn't love how much he was talking about Nash Carter, who is gone because of, which obviously they didn't really allude to. They alluded to things exploding, and this was the other piece. Wesley alluded to things exploding beneath his feet when it's like, well, your tag team partner allegedly had like different domestic violence instances, but also had a picture of him doing like a Nazi salute. So, I mean, yes. It is wild. So like, I was not into this promo as much. And then when Trick comes out and he's like, maybe your boy did this to himself or what, however he phrased it, I'm like, yes, we need accountability here. That's the hero we all need. Trick Williams.
You know, I agree, but also like
in the promo.
I agree with that, like accountability, and you know, nobody's praising Nash Carter right here, but like it has to, like you, you can't invalidate somebody's emotions who has literally traveled the world with this person for like at least I want to say a decade or something like that. You know, at the very least, he's acknowledging what happened and trying to move on from it. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it's just because I feel bad for Wesley, because it's not through his actions that he was stripped of a title. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, he has to find footing as somebody who has basically specialized in tag team wrestling for so long and has to go solo now. Like that's what my biggest thought process was. It's like, things are happening to him that weren't under his control, you know?
Well, it's interesting too, because really, I mean, for us, we haven't talked about Wesley much since that all happened, which was WrestleMania weekend. And I mean, since then, and this is the part that maybe I haven't been as tapped, that maybe we haven't been as tapped in on, but like Wesley has been appearing. Apparently he's had some rough attitude changes, I'll call them. So I think that's like the low key, like in storyline, in kayfabe, what he's also feeling, where he's like, I'm sorry for my pain and my anger.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like him a lot. I don't know why.
I do too. Yeah. And like I was saying, so what's been happening is he's been having matches over the past few weeks against like Sanga and Zion Quinn. And what he's been doing is he's been taking out his anger on them. And that's what he came to the ring to apologize for, basically to the audience. Like he's talking about how all that pain, rage and emotion was coming out in a way that he did not like. So that, I guess that's another reason why I kind of like it, because it's kind of like, you know, we talk about men expressing their feelings and trying to do it. Yeah. You know, trying to do it. Like, I love that that the storyline is kind of talking about how using rage and anger and emotion isn't a proper way to address your feelings. And then him saying he's not afraid to cry and stuff like that. Like, I think that's kind of like the deeper stuff that I don't know how much they're thinking about that, but it's something that I thought about.
Really good work too. But also, man, it's rough. I wish they figure out something else for him, but this is like, maybe this is that next thing,
the start,
for him, and this will lead to something.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Puya, what did this segment how did it make you feel?
It was intriguing, because I mean, I didn't know the backstory to any of this. So hearing some of this, my eyes were about to fall out of my face. But I mean, that's the thing with me with NXT 2.0. I haven't really been keeping an eye on it. It was very nice to see this kind of mic work. And it was very cool seeing two different types, where the what's his name?
Wesley or Trick? Yes.
No, Wesley. Wesley's coming in, giving you the emotion, really drawing that feeling out of you. And then Trick comes out and just shits on him. It was a lot of fun to see the immediate, like, no, I'm still going to come in here and pretend you didn't just have feelings and really give you a gut check. So I enjoyed the exchange. It was fun.
Yeah. Exactly that. All right. So let's just do a quick ad break and then we'll switch gears to AEW. All right. So we're not going to dive too deep into this, but there were a few things that I thought I just wanted to bring up before we get out of here. Jade Cargill, like we talked about her, what, to like 2 weeks ago, it wasn't that. But this is very interesting. Red Velvet gets injured. So Jade Cargill and Stokely Hathaway, the former Malcolm Bivens on NXT 2.0, which that man is awesome. And I'm glad that, you know, we found out that it was him. He was the one who requested his leave, which is still really awkward since they basically let him stay on TV until the moment he was gone. And, you know, the Diamond Mine is kind of struggling right now, but Stokely is killing it as Jade's like manager. They are so funny because the biggest thing about them and the kind of two videos I sent you guys is like it's blackness. It's truly just them being like
we do love that
incredibly like black. Like Stokely using, using like language on this type of language on AEW in an authentic way has been very refreshing and really cool to see. But like we said, Red Velvet's injured. So Kiera Hogan, Jade Cargill, Sylvie Hathaway, they're going on a baddie search. They're saying, like, we need another baddie to add to the squad. Like, tag who you think we should add to the squad. This will be very interesting. I want to see who it's going to be. I don't know, you know, I'm assuming it'll be another wrestler. So it's like, do they bring in Tasha Steelz? Do they, like, what do they do? What do they do here? So I'm so excited. And then still maintaining the, like, the, she's still feuding with Athena. And so them,
Which we love.
Yeah. Yeah. And Athena, dang it. Who is on Athena's side in this feud? I forget.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why. I'm not even going to get this right. But stalling.
Yeah. Either way, they're doing a really good long-term feud here. The baddie search is always going to draw me in. And it's just I've been missing my injection of wrestling black girl magic. So I just love Jade.
By the way, I had a feeling about one person, which I was right. I always feel like she's just there. For me, she's Anna Jay is one of them. And then Chris Statlander is there too.
Chris Statlander, you think Anna Jay is going to be a baddie?
Oh, no. They were with Athena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I'm looking for this tweet, by the way, Mari, from Jade.
Oh, I have it's in the...
Don't worry, I'll tag you under it because I do want you to end up in the baddie search.
Do not. I still kind of want to do the baddie section if they come to DC, but
we'll be in it.
I would have to try and like convince friends to come with me, like convince my girlfriends to come to a hardcore wrestling show.
Why? Yeah. You don't need anyone. I'll be there. I'm a baddie, right?
Okay, yeah, sure. That would be funny. The two of us and the baddie set. No, I mean, I still don't know where Jade feels
what's
about
the
being
scale
in the,
of the,
yeah, yeah. The baddie section. I don't think they've been really clear on that. Yeah, yeah, of course. We definitely want inclusion. So we'll see.
I might do if I have to. Hey, class action.
The only other thing, any thoughts on Jade Cargill, Puya?
Well, AEW, my biggest blind spot. But
all of ours.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is fun. I love her charisma. So I feel like that's the right person to have the title around them currently, Obby. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming to ask questions and really out myself as the true unknown here. Cool. So the baddies, they're a faction and one of them's injured and they're trying to replace that person currently. But then obviously it's a good way to get that Twitter stuff going, because I do think ultimately they're going to just pick a wrestler. And I don't think it's going to be similar to, in the audience, come out. And it's like the Santino Marella type thing. Like, all right. Yeah. You're cool. Part of the universe now. So I don't think it's that, but, I like her. I like her a lot.
Yeah, that would kind of be cool. A lot of people are tagging like independent women wrestlers. So that would kind of be cool if it's kind of like a semi unknown independent wrestler that they're like, oh, you from the baddie section. That would kind of be cool. But yeah, that's exactly it. Like the baddie search they just announced, which yes, they're looking for a new group member, but Jade has been doing the baddie section for a few months now, where she tells women in their city to come and tag her and DM her, and she'll have like a special section for them. And we also found out this week, speaking of which, the demos, like they've actually, why am I saying this? I don't care about ratings. However, the women 18 to 49 demo has actually, the ratings went up this week. At the same time that Warlow himself said on TV, well, he said in an interview that he wants to be one of the reasons why the women's demo goes up. So
what?
And
Wait, yeah. Could you explain that?
So,
what does he mean by that?
What does Wargo mean about by saying he wants to be one of the reasons that the women watch AEW?
Oh.
Wargo, and he said it like as he was like shirtless or like something like that. Like,
okay, yeah.
There has been so much thirst for Wardlow on my TL. Like, shout out to Lo from the Wrestling Wind Down. She has been like the spearheader of the Wardlow, like Thurston squad. Like, so shout out to Lo. I love her. And
yeah,
women love Wardlow. And I mean, he said it. It started happening. It seems like an audience that, you know, maybe they hadn't have really thought about is starting to tune in. So, I mean, something's working. They've been calling him War Daddy. Like, it's
War
been,
Daddy? Okay, I've seen that's it all where I draw the line. I don't know what he's doing on top of it. I don't know where this is. The first picture that came up on Twitter, it's him standing on top of a cage. I feel like this is one of the pictures that, look, we're going to take off this. This is too much thirst for our podcast right now. Too much thirst for the RHP YouTube.
Something might be going right over there a little bit. But the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to bring up this week, of course, the Forbidden Door pay-per-view is today. tomorrow. It's this week. So it's tomorrow. It's on a Sunday. Or today when this drops. Who knows? Whenever this drops, it'll probably be out.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Either way.
Yeah.
it's coming.
Brian Danielson, who we have known has been injured for a few weeks now, he came out to officially announce that he will miss Forbidden Door and that he'll miss Blood and Guts, which is apparently a week from this past week. So I guess it's going to be Forbidden Door and then immediately Blood and Guts.
Yeah,
let me double check that.
No, it's the special Dynamite. Like, because they have to do their, they did like Bash at the Beach or something, Beach Brawl.
Road Rager.
Road Rager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very WCW is what it gives for Dynamite.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So Blood and Guts is going to be that Wednesday. That, of course, is going to feature the Blood and Guts match, which is just war things, basically. It's a differently styled version of War Games. And so since Brian Danielson announces he has to miss Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts, he teases a mystery replacement. He said there's a man that I think is going to add great things to AEW. He is going to take my place. And because he's a heel, he's not telling us, which weird. Brian Danielson was supposed to face Zack Sabre Jr. Forbidden Door. Now it's a mystery opponent. From Mike in the John Has a Squadcast, he says, so is it Claudio / Cesaro for Brian Danielson's guy, right? Yep, exactly. So that's what we're all thinking. It might be Claudio. Formerly known as Cesaro. That he's the one that a lot of people are thinking. There's also, I think Seth Grayson might be a replacement. He's not former WWE.
That sounds like a UFC person's name. Seth Grayson.
I looked it up and it's a character from House of Cards, but I'm assuming it's not him.
Not him.
Are you sure it's not like a Doug Grayson or like a Stu Grayson or something like that? Stu Grayson. Stu Grayson is a wrestler. Stop in the dark. He's a Canadian pro wrestler, Stu Grayson.
I don't think that's it, though. Oh, my God. Now this is going to kill me.
Stu Grayson is, in case anyone wants to know, he is a Canadian professional wrestler. Best known for his time in All Elite Wrestling from 2019 to 2020.
Okay.
I'm definitely not reading this. Okay.
He left the promotion.
Yeah, in 2022, which is this year.
Yeah, like a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh, his contract expired May 2nd. Okay. I hope they're not talking about him.
That's what people are saying. That's like people are like, we're all going to get our, they said we're all going to get our hopes up that it's going to be Claudio, and then it might just be Stu Grayson. Another possible replacement they're saying might be Johnny Gargano.
Ooh.
Which we haven't heard from Johnny Gargano in a minute. I think his contract just ran out with WWE as well. He's taking a break to raise his daughter. Yeah, with Candace. So, yeah. If you're wondering, just go to the comments of the YouTube clip that we'll have in the highlights of the week in our little handy playlist. A lot of it is like, is it Gargano? Is it Claudio? Or is it going to be somebody who? It's going to be a letdown.
Stu Grayson. I'm glad we got there, though.
Yeah. I'm glad we got there. But yeah, so that's going to be some intrigue. That's going to be really cool to watch. Okada showed up on Dynamite. So, so Forbidden Doors tomorrow. Did you pull up the card there, Matt?
Yeah, let me read the card off.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just offered to read off the card, because it's the longest freaking thing ever. But from the top of the card to the bottom of the card, Jon Moxley versus Tanahashi for the interim AEW World Championship, because, of course, CM Punk is out. Jay White, who's the champion, versus Okada versus Adam Cole versus Adam Page for the... That's a lot of Adams. For the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. versus the mystery opponent for Bryan Danielson. We have FTR, which is the former Revival, who are the ROH champions, tag champions, and maybe, no, I think they're the ROH tag champions, versus United Empire, who are the IWGP tag champions, versus Roppongi Vice, which is Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. I'm getting so tired already. which is a three-way for a winner-takes-all. Winner gets all the championships. So that's
great. Oh, my God.
Osprey versus Orange Cassidy for the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Thunder Rosa, who's the champ, versus Toni Storm for the AEW Women's World Championship. Pac versus Miro versus Clark Connors versus Malakai Black. So all AEW people for the AEW Atlantic, All Atlantic Championship.
Yeah, because Clark Connors had to take over
someone from New Japan's spot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who it was, because I wasn't like tapped into that match as much. And then I saw that he replaced. Somebody who people are very disappointed.
Ishii.
And then continuing on the card here, we're almost there. Darby Allin, Takahashi, Shingo Takagi, and Sting versus the Young Bucks and Bullet Club, aka El Fantasmo and Hikulio. I don't know who that is, but in 8-man tag match. Throw us under the bus. And then there's Shota Umuni, Wheeler Yuta, and Eddie Kingston versus the Jericho Appreciation Society and Minoru Suzuki in a 6-man tag match. They're stacking the hell out of this card. And there's still 3 more pre-show matches.
What time does this start?
This is going to be a 5-hour show easily.
Yeah, and that match is going to lead to the Blood and Guts match on Wednesday, because it's going to be the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club in Blood and Guts. So,
I'll read the pre-show matches. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus Suzuki Goon. Tag team match. It's Chaos in another match. Chaos versus The Factory, which is QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. And then the probably the first pre-show match is Max Caster and the Gun Club, which is Gunn, Billy Gunn, who's somehow still able to wrestle after like 50 freaking years wrestling or whatever. If Ric Flair can do it, anyone can do it, is the lesson of this episode. Versus Alex Coughlin, Kevin Knight, the DKC, and Yuya Uemura. And I don't... Okay, Kevin Knight is the one name I know here because he's a Jersey guy. Like, I know Kevin Knight, and he is also, like... Actually, he's probably not 60, but he's getting closer to that. He's been wrestling for, like, 30 years. So, Wild, they just love to throw anyone and everyone they can on these cards. Yeah, it is a lot.
All right. Well, if we catch it, we catch it. If we don't, we don't.
I hope someone appreciated me reading off all of those matches and feels like, you know what, let's watch this show because of that.
Matt worked very hard on reading this whole lineup. It was a lot of lineup, Matt, so I commend you.
Thank you.
If they even get one buy off of that, that's all credit to you.
They will get one. They will get one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not me.
That was your, you did your service. You did your bit for them. That's it. That's all they're getting from you is reading out the roster.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for the highlights of the week. All of the highlights can be found in a very handy playlist that you can see in our show notes and descriptions. You can also see time codes and anything else that we decide to include in the show notes and descriptions. Puya, thank you so, so much for coming. Thank you for putting your spin on it, giving us your insights. We love having you on. We're so happy that we kind of got you back into wrestling, just a little bit.
You keep me in it. You keep me in it. I'm not going to lie to you. And I've said this last time. I'll say it again. You two are the hardest working podcast on this network with how much good work that goes into all these clips, three different shows, multiple promotions that you're keeping eyes on. This ain't easy. This is not easy. I appreciate you both.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We do. What do you have coming up, Puya?
So, the 90 Day Fiance Rahapa podcast still going strong. I had also the aforementioned Rob Cesternino on with me this week to talk about 90 Day. It was a lot of fun. And then I will be talking to Kirsten McInnes coming up this upcoming week over there. Aside from that, podcastically speaking, this is the only other appearance I've got for the meanwhile. Obviously, the three of me and Matt were involved with a RHAP Big Brother podcast for Brant Steele that Mari live tweeted that I was
keeping up with. That was so fun. Yes.
So we had a good time with that. And aside from that, I stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. Tonight's going to be my fourth out of five nights in a row. It's been a fun time. Join us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes. Can't wait for that. Matt, where can the people find you?
Look, obviously, you can find me at the Wrestling Rehab Up right here every single week. Never would miss a week. And you can find me at Matt Scott GW on the social media. Puya mentioned the Brant Steele that we did. You could check that out. That was a lot of fun. Just us RHAP podcasters either live tweeting the Brant Steele, which was entertaining and probably led to some wild tweets out of context.
Yeah.
And then also like just the us, everyone kind of embracing their character. It got very real. Puya had his championship belt, which I one day want to win from him in some kind of match refereed by Mari. So we'll get there. But other than that, again, Matt Scott TW, The Pride Has Spoken. Check that out. That has been a great series that me, Dr. Evi Jagoda, and Grace Leader, a.k.a. Stella Skewsyou, have been producing all Pride Month. And so we have the final episode coming out this coming Wednesday featuring Ricard from Survivor 41, an interview there, and just actually a bunch of voicemails from a ton of survivors, about, I want to say about a dozen survivor players, queer survivor players submitted voicemails. So definitely worth checking out. We are doing an Instagram live on RHAP at Rehapgrams on Monday night around 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So also check out me, Grace, and Evie doing that. And of course, There's also Pod Friends. So you could listen to Pod Friends. This week's episode features Beth Dixon, who is phenomenal, who many of you in this network probably know. Well, maybe from a lot of places, but definitely from the RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up and coverage, which is incredible. Shout out to Liana. Shout out to Aman, who is not on Big Brother. Yeah, that's basically where you could find me. And Mari, where could the people find you?
Okay, well, you know, every Tuesday, me and Sarah Carradine bring you True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. So this past week, we did Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, which has been, you know, that was a lot of talk of town. It's a docu-series on Netflix that we broke down with the wonderful guest, Gia Worthy, of the Survivor Diversity Initiative campaign. And coming up this week, we have a huge guest, we're talking about Undercurrent on HBO, about a journalist who was murdered on a man-made submarine by a megalomaniac millionaire. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. If you want to know more about that, go to subscribe to us at the Crime Scene Feed by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. And then following us on on Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. That's Crime SEENRHAP on Twitter to get noticed when we drop the episodes. If you subscribe to us directly, you get your true crime on Tuesday. If you don't, you get it on Wednesday. go check it. You gotta listen to hear that story. It's a very, very interesting story. The property was very good. And our guest is a well-known true crime podcaster and writer, Rebecca Lavoe. And it's such a good episode. Such a good episode. So go check us out at Crime Scene if you haven't already. Also, me and the Big Boss Man, Rob Sesternino, did a Naked and Afraid XL special edition podcast episode where we talked about last week's latest episode of Naked and Afraid XL on top of another like Naked and Afraid episode. I explained the Naked and Afraid universe to Rob, and he kind of broke down what it was like surviving in the Amazon to me. So it was a really fun podcast. Yes, go check it out. I had once tasked Puya to watch an episode of Naked and Afraid, and he is still yet to do it. Over a year later.
I'm not going to do it now because I don't want you to think I'm watching it because of Rob. If I watch it, it's because of Mari. So I'm going to hold off a little bit.
Sure.
But I will listen to the podcast. So.
Yeah. The podcast is really good. It was really fun. So just go check that out. Even if you like Naked and Afraid, if you have no idea what we're even talking about, just go check that out. That's truly really, really fun. But other than that, please go rate, review, and subscribe to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. Rating, subscribing helps get us on other people's feeds, and we really appreciate it. Again, you can always email us by sending your emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, and you can tweet us using hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up. Any last words, Matt? I mean, before my last
word. Have we really said it all? Like this episode, I think we made a lot out of this week in wrestling, which was a lot different than last week, but a good way to start to dip our toes back in. And I'm excited because we'll be back in really just a few days to do our Money in the Bank predictions with a couple of phenomenal guests. So, watch out for any flying clotheslines or something like that. I don't know.
All right. Remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Throw them up, lay it down, just like Matt and Mari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Full of Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, structured in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just a Matt Mari. Wrestling over half ups, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. You'll be coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Put the rock in.